Well, it looks like we have about 14 on board already, so perhaps we could kick off with a roll call.
Yes. Kim, could you start the recording, please?
Recordings have started.
Okay. Welcome to the third drafting team meeting, I believe. Is there anybody just on the phone? So who's not present in the Adobe room, please say so, because then we know what to reckon with. See, one more person entering. So there is not. So Nigel, all persons say we take the Adobe room and the people then who are on the in the Adobe room as the record of attendance. That's one. And for transcript purposes or for the recording purposes, could you state your name when you put up your hand, and please use the Adobe room to make any comments. Over to you, Nigel.
Okay, Bart, thanks very much. First of all, my apologies for not being able to make last meeting because of family circumstances. Happy to say everything seems to be in order. Happy to see 15 people on board tonight. Let's say we'll take the roll call as being the people in the Adobe room. We have the draft agenda before us. Before we go straight into that, is there anybody who has got anything to suggest for the agenda or comments to make on the agenda that's in the Adobe room? Well, that's a significant silence. I'm not going to try and jump down, but I think that, that we take the agenda as read in that case. So basically, it looks like we've had three sets of comments to date from Annabeth and Patricio and also from Alan. Can we talk about point two on the agenda, even though they're not numbered in 1, 2, 3?
Now, Nigel, this is Bart. Oh, I should put up my hand. I'm sorry.
I'll assume you've always got your hand up, Bart. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. We received the comments from Annabeth and Patricio. Annabeth and Patricio comments are more to the proposed text. And Alan has submitted an additional document. I think that was DTC's work, I believe. Yeah, that was DTC, from the CWG stewardship. If you would go back to the original, say, the reference material, it's included as Annex O, I believe, from the CWG stewardship, and so it's part of the reference material already, and as you rightfully said in your email, it is more on the substance instead of on the issues to be identified at this stage. Alan, I hope this is correct. That was the purpose of the comment as well. I believe it was included in the CWG as such.
Alan, are you with us? I can see you're still on mute at this point in time. Thanks for bringing that one up, because it's going to be... so you've just enabled your microphone. Would you like to say a couple of words?
Well, thanks, Nigel. I just actually responded in the chat to say, yes, I agree, but it's just for background and no need to discuss it today. Thank you.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I see Martin's comment. Martin Boyles. It was DTD or C, one of the two. I can't recollect properly, but it's one of the two drafting teams at the time, Martin. And it's included. B. Okay.
see. Right. So is I just want to give Annabeth and Patricia the chance to make any comment live in addition to what's gone on the email.
Patricia here, can you hear me?
Yeah, Patricia, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Basically, my comments were about the use of the term member and membership. The first time it's used, it seems that the membership, when it says membership is open to everyone, it's used as a general term for anybody participating in the group. But later, it seems to refer only to members that are CCPLD managers. So I believe that needs to be made very precise, because it has consequences later when it talks about the way that decisions are going to be made. Okay, that was basically my point for both documents.
Okay, thanks for that, Patricia. I can see that we've got the red line version coming up. And Annabeth had her hand up as well. So Annabeth, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you, Nigel. Actually, most of it is just small things that we don't have to discuss, but my main question is actually about the membership as well. So it's two things that you have in the charter there on point 2.1, members and other participants of the working group, that it's set down to have two members from each geographical region. And is it correct to understand that the chair or vice chair of the CCNSO should be included in those 10? In that case, that means that the region that's having chairs and vice chairs kind of don't have any much choice to choose members for their region. That was one question. And the other one is on when it's about participants on 212. It says that it's open to participants that should not be considered members. But what's mentioned there is the regional organizations, and then the other ALAC, GAC, GNSO, and SAC. So does that mean that members of the CCNSO or other CCPLDs cannot be participants in addition to the members that's been appointed? I think that was my main question.
Yeah, Bart, do you want to say something on that?
Yes, I think as we drill down the main question, I've asked Kim to put up this document. My suggestion is to run through it, because I've included some comments on the comments itself, so you have a consolidated overview, and based on that we can discuss the suggestions and or questions, and then finalize the document. Would that work?
That is fine, Bart. I just wanted to raise the question so we could discuss it, so we are all of us are sure how it should be interpreted.
Yeah. So I'll go back to the first one in order to start the discussion. Say the first question, I think that was yours, Annabeth, was the use of the term review mechanism. I've included part of the explanation in the past. A review mechanism has been chosen to differentiate, and this was discussed, I believe, at the Helsinki meeting, chosen to differentiate from the appeals process referred to in IOC 1591 and the independent review process as required by the CCWG itself. Say the comment whether it's an appeal itself or not, that's something to, because it has a certain, I would say, value to it if you call it an appeal. But that's up for the, say, the working group in the future to discuss and elaborate more on. So this is just an explanation of why the term review mechanism is used. And I can include it in the footnote if that's shed some more light to what is what about your point. So that's the first comment.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Thank you. It's Annabeth again. The reason I raised it is that I have had some questions from other participants in the community that's not been included in the discussions before, and they feel the word a little awkward to what it really means. So I think it's a good idea to explain it in a footnote.
Okay. I'll include it in a footnote. I assume if there are no comments. Nigel,
I think that's right. Thanks, Annabeth. And the important thing is that we're drafting the charter here. This is hopefully going to be quite a quick process, but it has to be done in a way that all potential participants can be kind of satisfied that everybody's being represented and so on. I mean, I've sent some personal comments, Director Bart, so I won't bore you with them on this meeting. Just one quick one. In 1.1 that's in front of me, I see we want to recommend a feasible policy. I think we can get rid of the word feasible because I don't think we want to recommend an infeasible policy, but that's just a passing comment. Are there any other comments or anybody else who wants to say anything at this stage on this particular document? Don't see any hands up, but I'll give a little bit longer. No, nothing heard, so shall we move on to the next agenda item?
Yeah. So, say, the next point itself, say, on the, say, what was raised by Patricio and Annabeth regarding the membership. So, here you are. It's section 2. So, this is the comment from Patricio, if you haven't seen it, say just to explain, and maybe this is my lack of English probably. It's I used the term membership in a generic sense, so that's why it's up there. So, and the membership should include, and I don't know whether it does or it is unclear. It's a kind of almost a container concept where you can say the membership consists of members, participants, experts, and others. So it's used in a generic sense. If that's unclear, I'd say definitely if there are any other words that capture, say, and are of a generic nature, then please suggest one. Go ahead, Patricio.
Yeah, I'm probably not the best person for speaking about some points of the English language. Perhaps Nigel could help us with that. But I believe that if you use the term membership, is the set of all the members. So if you later said that no, membership includes members, but in addition it also includes participants and it includes experts, then for me it's confusing, and I would use a different noun for the whole set in that case. That's basically my point. I wouldn't use the term member or membership for two different things because it has important implications, as I said.
Yeah, I agree.
Find the mechanism for making decisions.
No, that's very clear, Patricia.
Patricia, thanks for the nod to my usual pedantry. I think perhaps the easiest way around this is to identify what we call members in Bart's expression, as in members as opposed to the wider membership, and you call it something like, you put some qualifier in front of it, like appointed members or designated members or CCTLD or something like that. I think it's fairly easy to do in drafting, and I think, or you can just simply do what Bart is doing
Nigel,
in a footnote.
Sorry, I have a simple suggestion here.
Yeah, go ahead, Bart.
It's Martin.
Oh, sorry, Martin. Go ahead.
It's Martin here. The simplest language suggestion is to just get rid of the words "membership of the," or and then the sentence is the working group is open to. I think then it's settled.
How do you feel about that, Bart?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Maybe, you have to find another. I see the membership word is coming back in the second
paragraph. Yeah, but I can get rid of membership altogether and then say we need to find a generic term for the heading of this section. And try to move it away, and maybe even put in a footnote, a qualifier membership is not meant to designate only members, but to designate the full group. And then it should be clear. So that's with respect to membership. Shall we move on? I think we resolved that one. Shall we move on to the section that from members? I've already included a little bit of a qualification. The first one is going back to Annabeth's comment was that it and the underlying concern, I believe, is that the CCNSO participation or the CCTLD participation in the working group would be overwhelmed by non-CCTLD. So the first point I want to make with respect to that is that it should have at least 10 members, so more are welcome. And in order to ensure a broad base, then it should be preferably 2 members from every region. And that could include and should include one, the vice chair or chair of the CCNSO. And going back to your concern, because it has at least 10 members, if there are 11 or more, then we definitely know there will be some CCTO or some regions which will have 3 or more people from that region on the working group. So that is one. So there is no upper limit to the number of members from the CC community. So that's the first point. I see, Martin, your hand is up. Or Nigel?
Yeah, thank you. I was going to give Martin the floor before myself.
Martin, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Martin Boyle here. Yes, I did put my hand up, but I think you clarified my point of confusion, Bart. I think what you're actually saying is quite clearly that the membership is not limited to 2 CCTLD managers per region. and certain region there were more. So, for example, if you've already got the CCNSO chair who wants to be a member, the European region wouldn't lose one seat from that. It would be able to so the only only question I have left is whether there is anything in the rules that limits the number of representatives from any particular region. I don't think there is, and so in fact it could be a possibility that we have an exceptionally large working group for these PDPs. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Martin. I read it the same way, and in fact, I think in practice from the previous two working groups, it doesn't really matter if we have extra bodies on board because it will settle down and some will do be a lot more active than others. Just one minor typographical thing, Bart. If we can remove the comma after the words 10 members in this clause, it ties the members to be CCTLD managers rather than members. All of the members must be representatives from CCTLD managers.
Yeah, I will. So based on the notes, I'll update the document and send it round once more.
I mean, we all know what we mean, and we're not going to be restrictive on this. But while we're reviewing it right now, we might as well just do that.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else? No. Bart, do you want to move on to the next thing?
Yeah, and I think this is this is again a section that was alluded to by Annabeth. Say, does this mean CCNSO has only two appointed members from each geographic and region? No, it could have been more. And I'd say the reason for making a difference between participants and members is, first of all, it's standard practice that the CCNSO appoints representatives, or the CCNSO Council appoints representatives from the CEC community to working group CWG. Participants is, in this sense, it's limited to representatives from the regional organization. Again, this is a requirement under the PDP that regional organizations get involved. And then the ALEC, GAC, and GNSO and SAC is more to ensure that, say, the broader community with an interest in the process is invited at participant level. So that's why there is this distinction between participants on the other, on the one hand, and members on the other hand. And then you've got the usual expert and observers. Observers are people who are, say, go through the mechanism of the working group itself, and experts are effectively two groups. One is PTI staff, so that's Naila Kim and or Elise, and the expert on the ISO 31666, that is YAP. I see Annabeth comment, say, as observer, that's common practice, and that's usual. Going back to what you said is around the membership or the members, CCNSO, because this is a CCNSO working group, CCTLD managers are generally appointed through the say, CCNSO Council, and participants in this working group is effectively limited and shouldn't be confused with participants in something like the CWG and CCWG.
Thanks for that. That's fine. Then I thought I heard somebody else talking, but maybe it was my own voice coming back at me. I'm not sure. Is there anybody else got something to say? Don't see any hands up, Bart.
Yeah, I'll just continue. Nobody hands. You see, I see Annabeth is typing, but she. So Annabeth, you could speak up, put your hands up. It's just as easy.
Okay, it's Annabeth here. I'll try again. I found this a little confusing because of what I tried to figure out or what's written in the charter is that members are those that are appointed by the CCNSO Council, since this is the CCNSO PDP.
Yeah.
And it should be at least two from each geographical region.
Yeah.
But it might be of great interest for those not participating as members and also to be observers and to follow the discussion, even if they are not appointed members. And the option for that is under 212, not for CCPLD, it's just for the others. Participants, experts, and observers.
It's, you have participant, experts, and observers. The observers may be any person appointed as observer by the chair, so that's open for everybody.
Okay. That's not very clear in the 2.2 for me, but if you say so, I'm satisfied with that.
If you look at, say, the way the observers, what it states is the working group we have the following observers: the issue manager for the CCPDP, so that's me, by definition.
Mm-hmm.
But then also any person appointed as observer by the chair of the working group. So if somebody wants to be an observer, they need to go through the working group chair, and that's it.
Yeah, and
okay.
I think we're going to accept them. The default is going to be wide participation. Are you happy with that, Annabeth?
Yes, sir, that's fine. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay. Next.
Next, I don't have... Oh, yeah, there we are. Organization, this goes to the working method, say, from any one individual organization who can can comment during a public comment period. I think that's standard ICANN practice, that say there is no qualification on people who could make comments on the document from the working group. I see Martin's hand is up. Martin?
Thanks, Bart. Sorry, this was actually me sparking on something that Nigel said. And I just wanted to seek some clarification on that. Nigel said, and I must admit I fully agree with him, that essentially nominations from CCTLD for the working group will be accepted. And I wondered at that particular point whether this is actually not our decision but a council decision. So essentially I was putting up my hand to say, yes, but who is actually the person, the organisation that decides? I'm assuming it will be the council. Do we therefore need to say in this working group charter something that makes our expectations clear to the council? Simple question, but you know, if it is the council that's going to make the decision, I think we do need to make quite clear that there is a clear reference in the charter to that effect. Thank you.
Yeah, I think that's a very useful suggestion, Martin. I'm sure Bart will come up with some suitable authority words.
That's say it's standard practice. So I'll just to clarify, say with respect to the members, I will state that say after a call with volunteers, they will be appointed by the members by the CCNZO Council. Does that clarify your point, Martin?
I think silence indicates assent on this.
Yep. Okay.
Yes, it does. It actually indicated that I couldn't find the unmute button, but that's perfectly satisfactory.
Yeah, I'll include that. It's basically standard practice. So I'm scrolling down with respect to this document. There are no additional comments. So, Kim, could you change to the other one? Say to be clear, the comments received with respect to membership, etc., do apply, and the clarifications do apply to the other document as well as, say, the as of section 2. They are the same document. So what will change in section 2 and forward is applicable for both documents. Peter, you have your hand up.
Yes, Bart. This is Peter Vergota speaking. I had a question about internal decision making.
It
says that we should operate by preference on consensus or near consensus. But somehow I'm puzzled who is contributing to reach the consensus. Is this only the members of the working group?
No.
Or is that the larger group, including participants, observers, and experts?
At least, say... And let me scroll down because it's in here as well in this same document. Internal decision making. Yep. Here we are. I think it say the way it's hopefully envisioned in the storm and was discussed, say, on the previous call and the call before, is you got in principle two, or effectively three positions. You got full consensus, consensus, and no consensus. The threshold itself, I think, is very difficult, but as we do have members, and say you raised the point that on the previous call or on the first call, that to avoid that members, so in the sense of CCTLD representatives, could be outvoted overwhelmed by non-CCTLD members who participate in this working group, I've included and suggested something like, say, with the in the consensus, that at a minimum, 75% of the members need to agree. So you have a supermajority of the members that need to agree, and a small minority of the total membership objects. So this, it could be the case that you got three, in case you got just 10 members, that at least, say, based on the 75% rule, two members could object to avoid that members have a veto, one of the members has a veto. That was the thinking behind the membership rule. So it's a bit of a quorum rule almost. And then a small minority of total membership, and that's people who participate in the this decision making, so that could be on equal footing. That could be the members and participants that they need to agree. Say if there is in case there is no full consensus, and this is the second rule, and again this is the experience, and I think it worked very well in the CWG and CCWG, is that say in case there is really a stalemate, the chair should allow could decide to use a poll to assess the level of recommendations, and in that case, if polls are taken, they should be taken across the members only and not include the participants. So ultimately, it's the CCTLD representatives' voice that is needs to be taken into account. I hope this clarifies your question. And this goes, so this is in response already to the point you raised two meetings ago.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Okay. Peter, does that address where you were going with this?
It does, but it does not eliminate my concern.
No, and I agree with you. I'm going to make a comment which is perhaps not one that's embedded in the charter, but I think if we get to the stage during the substantive work where there is more than merely nominal disagreement, in other words, there is a significant minority of disagreement in what we're doing, then we'll be doing something wrong. I mean, the experience from the two previous ones is that pretty much we did not push anything through that did not come to be agreed by just about everybody, and that's what I'm hoping we can do. And obviously we can't build that into the charter because that's a recipe for running aground, but I will say that if we start worrying about polls and who's entitled to vote and so on, we've already kind of lost the plot.
Maybe in addition, Peter, to a concern, and this is more if you look at the how the working groups, because you got the two, how they are sit under and how they relate to the policy development process, is the say, and this goes back to the documents. Say, if you look at let me see the deliverable of the working group. Let me check. Deliverables. If you look at this, you will see that it talks about interim paper and final paper and draft final papers. It doesn't talk about reports. The term report, etc., is specifically used for the say the documents that flow from the say policy development process itself. So you will have an issue report, you will have an interim report, and you have a final report and a board report ultimately. So these papers go into and fill the the interim report from the issue manager. And that's the experience from the IDM PDP as well. And ultimately, on the final report, so that's the combination of the products of Working Group 1 and 2, the members, and only the members of the CCMSO, will take a vote. So ultimately, and that's where the real protection power of the CCMSO community is to take a final vote on the results of the working groups. These working groups will not go anywhere else than to the CCMSO Council and to the CCNSO members, and only after their approval and adoption they will be recommended to the board as a policy. So that's what you need to take into account in with respect to the output and deliverables of the working groups as well.
Okay, I understand, Bart. That's really the lock on the door. But it would be huge waste of effort and efficiency if we come a whole way and spend months and months in working through and preparing an interim paper and a final paper, and then eventually the CCNSO Council says, well, it's not satisfying to enough to the needs of the CCTLD, so we won't go along with it, and we do not accept the outcome. That would, I don't know.
but it goes back to your concern. Say you can do the same with respect to, say, the products of or the deliverables of the working group itself. The working group, if it has the sense that it doesn't go in the right direction, as Nigel said, I think there are other means, and there is the role of the chair and of the all of the people who are involved to ensure it goes into the right direction. That's why you have certain, I would say, precautionary measures embedded in the charter, but you can't rule out that it's only, say, in my view at least, that there needs to be some flexibility built in and say common sense from the participants to move the process forward. I don't know any way, at least workable way, and which is flexible enough to meet all the issues down the road, at this stage deal with circumstances where one would say where a larger group of the people involved is trying to disrupt the process, because that's probably the situation where you're looking at.
Yeah, thanks, Bart. Mm-hmm. And I will say that judging by the participation that we've had in the past, and I know we're having a slightly different membership going forward because some people have moved on outside the community and so on, but by and large I'm pretty confident that we're going to go along the same route that we've been traveling for 6 or 7 years, which is very positive. The other thing I'd say is that if we try and lay this down too much, we might inadvertently provide a mechanism for, let's say, one single person to provide a roadblock to progress. And having seen that in other parts of the accountability process, then I think we just have to kind of trust ourselves a little bit on this, but I think we're heading in the right direction. Peter, does that address where we are?
It does, Nigel. I'm still not convinced, but we need to move on. I'm not going to monopolize.
I'm not too far apart from you on this, but I think in terms of getting a charter out the door and getting the substantive work underway, then I think this is good enough for government work.
Sorry, could you repeat that, Nigel?
I said as far as getting this charter agreed out of the door and then starting substantive work on content, I think what we've got is probably, as we say in England sometimes, it's good enough for government work.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Sorry, Martin. Are we sort of at the bottom of this now?
Yeah. The only question, this is what I had as comments on. Oh, no, we haven't, because I was going back to Let's go to the comments on the charter itself from Annabeth. As far as I understand, but I call upon Yap for this one, say the what's in this section on the transition reserve, etc., that is correct, and it's quoted, and it is directly from the ISO 3166.
Yeah, if you want to comment on that, or just give us a green flag or something. Nothing heard or seen yet.
Yeah.
Am I mute? Yes.
Yeah, you are.
I'm scrolling to the exact sections. Which page you were?
It's page 2. Top of page 2.
Page 2. Just off page 2. Stay, go to page 2. Substantial change in names. I went to that earlier. I mean, I think it's fine. It's
You say this is included.
And I will go to that again tomorrow.
So, okay, we take it. So we'll confirm it, Annabeth, in the next version for adoption. Significantly interested parties, Annabeth, that's the as defined in the framework of interpretation. That's correct.
Well, I certainly hope so, because it took us long enough to define it at the time.
Yeah. That's why I've used that term. Again, the membership part we've discussed, participants we've discussed, working methods were discussed. So that's it. These were the two comments with respect to the section one, effectively, or section two, the scope of the retirement discussion. So that's it, Nigel.
Fantastic. So we move on to item 4 on the agenda, I guess.
Yep.
Next steps.
So my suggestion is, Joke has taken the notes. I'll update this version tomorrow, send it around, and I hope that based on, today's discussion, and the, updated version, the drafting team can sign off so I can include it, and preferably by Monday, so I can include it in the issues report as this suggestion for the PDP itself.
That sounds very, very promising, and if I'm not mistaken, that leaves us coming towards item 5, 10 minutes early.
Yeah, unless somebody disagrees. But so based on
before we move on to 5, I'll just say, anybody got any other comments, input, or any other business for the meeting? Once again, silence in this case implies not assent. There's nothing to say. So, Bart, if you've got anything
Martin,
to
Martin,
your final
hand is
words,
up, please. Martin's hand is up. Martin, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Bart. Just one
little point that I had the last time I was on one of these calls about the straw man drafts. It seems to me, and the bit that Yap has just looked at, that we have incorporated an awful lot of material that would seem to me to be more the role of the working group when it is in place than for us. And it just seems to me that if we clutter up a charter with a lot of examples of things that the working group should actually look at, then we issue sort of two messages. One that we're that we think we know what should be done, which I don't think is a good place for us to be. And secondly, we also seem to be saying, and these are the only points that you should be looking at, which again I don't think is something that we should be saying. So I think one of the things I would like to see with both of these working group charters is to sort of go through and separate that which has been very useful for getting our own brains into order about the scope of the work and where it is, for example, all the stuff about retirement, which I thought was useful for background, but something that I think probably you, Bart, can bring to the attention of the working group when it is found set up, and then that working group can build on it, but it isn't itself part of the charter for a working group. I think that will make a shorter and easier to understand document for not only the working group but also for the tool itself when it comes to read the document and for all other members.
Thank you, Martin. Very, very, very useful. We've bitten into half of our 10 minutes, but it was really worth waiting for. I agree with that myself totally. And we'll, I'm sure Bart will try and take that on board in the next couple of days in the drafting. Thank you.
May I make a suggestion and say what I've say to clarify it? Say the bit we just referred to, especially the bit around retirement probably, and also if you would look at review mechanism, it's and the way I've described it and otherwise, this is provides a little bit more context around the issues themselves. They, what I tried to do in the two documents is separate the overview of issues, which really drives the discussion and the questions, from the introduction and background and hence the context in which these issues arise. Maybe that should be more clarified, and if that's a way to move it forward, then I think I hope that addresses your concern, Martin.
Okay, Martin, do you want to say anything, or do you want to wave a flag?
Martin?
He's got his hand up.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, Nigel. I think so long as we actually manage to keep that separation between the material that is background and that which is charter, then I think that responds to my concern.
I think
feed any more into your 10 minutes.
Yeah. I think both should be, but that's a matter of drafting. I think both should be included in charter. Say the context and background is included to provide, say, context around the issues that need to be addressed by the working group, and that's the scope of issues. That's where, say, that's what the working group should focus on, and there is, in my view, if you look at the topics to be addressed, there is a lot of room to maneuver and really delve into it up to the working group itself. But say there are certain sources from which some of them conflicting, where the issues derive from. And that's
okay,
what
I think that's probably tease that out to some extent. Let's see what we can do over the next couple of days, and maybe communicate with Martin to see if he's got specific ideas on how to do that. But I agree with the overall thrust of what you said, Martin, considerably. Okay, Bart, do you want to move on to item 5?
Closure. That's up to you, Chair.
Well, if you want to do it and everybody else wants to do it with 3 minutes to spare, I'd like to thank everybody for their participation tonight. I don't like to call item 5 closure. In good parliamentary tradition, I like to call it adjournment. But thanks for everybody for coming today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.